Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. As indicated by today's intro tune, Liberace's Variations on Turkey in the Straw, today's program is a special program designed around the themes and songs of the Thanksgiving holidays. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the website factretriever.com. Question number one, why did Sarah Hale, who became known as the mother of Thanksgiving, suggest to President Lincoln that the last Thursday in November should be Thanksgiving? Was it A, by then all elections are finished? Was it B, harvest were completed by the end of November? Was it C, summer travelers were finally home? Was it D, all of the above, or E, none of the above? Why last Thursday of November selected for Thanksgiving? And question number two, which of the following songs was originally written as a Thanksgiving song? Was that A, Jingle Bells, B, Here Comes Santa Claus, C, I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas, or D, I'll Be Home for Christmas? Originally a Thanksgiving song, which one was it? The answers to these two important musical trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the 20th of November. Well, it was on this day back in 1710 that composer Wilhelm Friedemann Bach, Johann's second child and eldest son, was born. 1710 today. And it was 60 years ago today, 1960, that George Harrison was deported from Germany for being too young to perform there with the Beatles. George Harrison, too young to perform, deported, 1960, today.
Let us somehow get through this meal without that bad old feeling, with history and memory and home cooking we're dealing. Remind us that we're all grown up, adults, no longer children.
Loudon Wainwright III's Thanksgiving provides our folk music contribution to this holiday music. It's entitled Loudon Wainwright III. With a bittersweet touch, artist lays out underlying darker narrative. This is published in the Columbus Dispatch on the 18th of November, 2017, by Curtis Schieber. It was just 6 days before Thanksgiving as Loudon Wainwright III took the stage in Natalie's Coal-Fired Pizza and Live Music last night. For many in the packed house, guests had been invited, schedules had been cleared, a grand celebration of family was anticipated. Likely, turkeys lay in frozen, respectful wait in their homes. Mid-set, Loudon did what Loudon does, though. With a comic's cavalier and poet's bittersweet touch, he laid out the underlying darker narrative of many a Thanksgiving. Lord, every year we gather here to eat around this table. Give us the strength to stomach as much as fast as we are able. At the base of Wainwright's 40-plus year unique and uncompromising body of work is the need to lay bare the pain and frustration of family and romance. If his confessions haven't pleased the folks in his personal life, they've always been accompanied by a deeply sentimental attachment to them. That was most patiently and potently witnessed last night, near the end of the set, when Wainwright recited one of his dad's essays published while an editor for Life magazine during the 1960s. Reciting his dad's writing brought Wainwright alive with a passion that had been robbed as the set wore on by the singer's fading, ailing voice. Wainwright fiddled with the tuning for a few songs, looking for a key that would work for his increasingly health-challenged voice, falling back on an a cappella version of Hollywood Hopeful. Though readings from his own recently published memoir were less effective than quotes from his dad's work, a story about his imagined romance with Liza Minnelli, a very real neighbor during his childhood in California, was classic Wainwright. Though Wainwright's voice faded as the evening wound down, he nonetheless managed to tap the bittersweet tone of his core persona. A short opening set from daughter Lucy Wainwright Roach illustrated the old adage about the fruit not falling too far from the bottom of the tree.
And it is the family. Nothing bad has happened yet. Everyone is happy. Mother and father, both still young. And naturally they love us. We're all lying on a lawn at night, watching the stars.
The Hallelujah Chorus from Handel's Messiah represents classical music's contribution to both the food and the service dimensions of Thanksgiving and provides a transition to the Christmas season music. It's entitled The Glorious History of Handel's Messiah. It's published in the Smithsonian Magazine, December 2009 issue, Jonathan Candle. Handel, who grew increasingly obese over the years, certainly had an intimidating physique. He paid more attention to food than is becoming to any man, wrote Handel's earliest biographer, John Mainwaring, in 1760. Artist Joseph Guppy, who designed scenery for Handel operas, complained that he was served a meager dinner at the composer's home in 1745, Only afterward did he discover his host in the next room, secretly gorging on claret and French dishes. The irate Guppy produced a caricature of Handel at an organ keyboard, his face contorted into a pig snout, surrounded by fowl, wine bottles, and oysters strewn at his feet. He may have been mean with food, but not with money, says Keats. Amassing a fortune through his music and shrewd investments in London's burgeoning stock market, Handel donated munificently to orphans, retired musicians, and the ill. He gave his portion of his Messiah debut proceeds to a debtor's prison and hospital in Dublin. A sense of humanity imbues his music as well, a point often made by conductors who compare Handel with Bach. But where Bach's oratorios exalted God, Handel was more concerned with the feelings of mortals. Even when the subject of his work is religious, Handel is writing about the human response to the divine, says conductor Bickett. Nowhere is this more apparent than in Messiah. The feelings of joy you get from the Hallelujah choruses are second to none, says conductor Cummings. And how can anybody resist the Amen chorus at the end? It will always lift your spirits if you're feeling down. There is little doubt about Handel's own fondness for the work. His annual benefit concerts for his favorite charity, London's Foundling Hospital, a home for abandoned and orphaned children, always included Messiah. And in 1759, when he was blind and in failing health, he insisted on attending a performance of Messiah in Covent Gardens. 8 days later, Handel died at his home. His total estate made him a millionaire by modern standards. He left the bulk of his fortune to charities. To say, food is definitely a major theme of the Thanksgiving holidays, and the song Food, Glorious Food, playing in the background now, is Broadway's contribution to this theme. As noted in songfacts.com, this is the one of the more memorable songs from the award-winning musical Oliver, which was written in its entirety by the London-born composer Lionel Bart. The show is an adaptation of the famous Charles Dickens novel, Oliver Twist. It opened in the West End in 1960 and on the big screen in 1968. Food, Glorious Food is the opening number and is based on the famous scene in the book where a half-starved Oliver Twist has the temerity to ask for more gruel. Sung as a chorus, it is an obviously whimsical homage to fine cuisine, something that was just as obviously in short supply for workhouse boys in Victorian England. NCC's The Wall Street Shuffle introduces our virus adaptation music news. It's entitled, Black Friday is Over. Here's why retailers are touting weeks of deals this year. This is written by Lauren Thomas, CNBC, on the 2nd of October, 2020. Black Friday has been losing its clout for years. The coronavirus pandemic could be what finishes it. Its name comes from the sizable effect the buying blitz can have on a retailer's bottom line, pushing them, quote-unquote, into the black or toward profitability. After three quarters of money-losing sales, in previous years, Black Friday could equate to an extra week of sales. In recent years, however, Black Friday's importance has faded. More retailers have offered similar sales online, making it possible for shoppers to browse and buy from their couch or on their smartphone rather than having to camp out in a Best Buy parking lot or cut through thick crowds at the mall. In the midst of a global health crisis, shoppers have even more reason to avoid long lines to snag a deep discount on a smartwatch, boots, or a Nintendo Switch. Some 64% of consumers said they are less inclined to shop on Black Friday than they were just a few years ago. Nearly 60% said they had also lost interest in shopping on Cyber Monday. Retailers are downplaying the one-day event this year, too. Many say they will start holiday deals earlier and extend the offers throughout the holiday season. Uncertainty, however, may lead to less spending on gifts this holiday season as consumers skip large family gatherings or watch their budgets because of unemployment or pay cut concerns. Analysts expect a huge portion of sales will move online this year as many of us are still stuck at home.
Sitting in the railway station, got a ticket for my destination. On a tour of one night stands, my suitcase and guitar in hand, and every stop is neatly planned for a poet and a one-man band. Homeward bound.
Going home to be with family and friends is a basic theme to the Thanksgiving holiday, and that is also the theme of this rock and pop hit song, Homeward Bound, sung by Simon and Garfunkel. Here's that backstory. As noted in songfacts.com, Paul Simon lived in Brentwood, England, when he wrote this song while waiting for a train. The lyrics reflect a yearning for his home in England, but also for a return to the U.S., In a 1990 interview, Simon said, "What I like about this song is that it brings back a clear memory of the Liverpool train station and the streets of Liverpool and the club I played at and me at age 22. It's like a snapshot, a photograph of a long time ago. I like that about it. The song's title, however, has been around forever, but there's something naive and sweet-natured about it, which I like. That's my memory of that time. It was just about idyllic. It was the best time of my life." This song was the second Simon and Garfunkel single, following up what would become their number one chart topper, The Sound of Silence, which became a surprise hit when their record company added instrumentation and released it a year after it was first recorded. Given the immigrants' story of Paul Simon's life and his song lyrics, Peter Carlin could not resist calling his 2016 novel about Simon Homeward Bound.
Silently for me.
A major theme for Thanksgiving is friendship, and our local music connection to Thanksgiving music is James Taylor, here singing You've Got a Friend. As noted in songfacts.com, this song was written and recorded by Carole King in 1971. This song became the biggest and most well-known hit for then 23-year-old James Taylor and his only number one in America. It was the first single off his third album. Taylor was the first to record it, putting down the track in Los Angeles with his band, which included King on piano. Days later, King recorded her version at A&M Records. According to Taylor, Carole King told him that this song was a response to his 1970 hit, Fire and Rain, where Taylor sings, "I've seen lonely times when I could not find a friend." King's musical response, "You've got a friend right here." Taylor heard this song for the first time in November 1970 when he played a week of shows at the Troubadour in Los Angeles. By this time, his album, Sweet Baby James, had taken off, and Taylor was drawing large crowds. He asked his good friend, Carole King, to be his opening act, and King grudgingly accepted. She wasn't used to playing her own songs live and was very nervous. King had written You've Got a Friend for her upcoming Tapestry album, and during sound checks, she played the song while Taylor listened in the balcony. Later, during a recording session, Taylor had some studio time left over after recording two songs. His producer, Peter Asher, suggested that they take a crack at You've Got a Friend, so Taylor and his band recorded the song. It sounded great, but Taylor didn't want to steal King's songs out from under her, so Asher called her with the bold request to let Taylor record the song, which was clearly destined to be a hit. King graciously granted permission, and Taylor's version was released as a single, going to number one in the U.S. This worked out well for King, however, since it became a linchpin of her Tapestry album. And while she never released her version as a single, the album sold over 10 million copies in the U.S. There are some differences in the lyrics between King and Taylor's version, mostly just slight variations. The biggest difference is in the opening lines. King sings, "When you're down in troubles and you need some love and care." And Taylor sings, "When you're down and troubled and you need a helping hand." Taylor's version of this song won the 1971 Grammy Award for Best Male Pop Vocal Performance. The song also won for Song of the Year, an award that goes to its writer, Carole King.
Winter, spring, summer, or fall. Hey, now all you've got to do is call. Lord, I'll be there, yes, I will. You've got a friend. You've got a friend.
So, how did you do on today's musical trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, why did Sarah Hale suggest to President Lincoln that the last Thursday in November should be Thanksgiving? Was it A, by then all elections are finished, right? Or was it B, harvest were completed by the end of November? Or was it C, summer travelers were finally home? Was it D, all of the above, or E, none of the above? Correct answer. Answer D, all of the above. As noted in FactRetriever.com, consider the mother of Thanksgiving, Sarah Hale, 1788 to 1879, was an influential editor and writer who urged President Lincoln to proclaim a national day of Thanksgiving. She selected the last Thursday in November because, as she said, harvest were done, elections were over, and summer travelers were home. She also believed a national Thanksgiving holiday would unite Americans in the midst of dramatic social and industrial change and awaken in Americans' hearts the love of home and country, of thankfulness to God, and peace between brethren. And in 1941, Congress established the fourth Thursday in November as a national holiday. And the answer to our second question, Which of the following songs was originally written as a Thanksgiving song? Was it A, Jingle Bells, B, Here Comes Santa Claus, C, I'm Dreamin' of a White Christmas, or D, I'll Be Home for Christmas? And the correct answer is answer A, Jingle Bells. As noted in an 11/25/11 article in Huffington Post by David Moy, Jingle Bells was originally written for Thanksgiving. Songfacts.com adds, the words and music for this Christmas classic were written by James S. Pierpont, a popular American composer in 1857 with the title of One Horse Open Sleigh. Pierpont was a member of the staunch Unitarian church family, and his father was a minister. It was originally written for a local Sunday school entertainment on Thanksgiving Day in Savannah, Georgia. Its catchy tune was soon taken up by Christmas revelers. Some of the many artists to record this song include Jim Reeves, Lawrence Welk, Addie D. Williams, Perry Como, and Frank Sinatra. One of the more unusual versions is by The Singing Dogs, which was created by a Danish man named Don Charles and featured four dogs barking out of the tune. And this was the first song played in space. On December 16, 1965, astronauts Wally Schirra and Tom Stafford were aboard Gemini 6 when they played this on a harmonica and bells to Mission Control. Both instruments are displayed at the Smithsonian National Air and Space Museum. Well, let's close out today's program with this musical plea for unity and healing at Thanksgiving. We are the world.
There comes a time when we heed a certain call, when the world must come together as one. There are people dying, oh, when it's time to lend a hand to life, the greatest gift of
Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. So long, until next time, and happy Thanksgiving.
Stronger and free, as God has shown us.